We're all set. Okay. Good afternoon. This is Julie Fedorchak. We are gathered on the 12th floor of the State Capitol at a little after 2:30 on Wednesday, November 3rd. And we are here for a work session on case number PU-21-377. This is, I don't have any opening comments. Do you, Commissioner Christman?
No, thank you.
Okay, then we'll just turn it over to the portfolio holder, which is Commissioner Crosius, to kick us off and lead the discussion. Thank you.
Okay, well, why don't we just, I think I'm actually, cut to the chase. You had some concerns about the order, but I'll give just some quick background on it. This, we had a suspended amount for Beck Consulting. And a consent agreement on that tied to that, those to three different complaints. The suspended amount was $2,650. The consent agreement was reached on August 25th. Then on August 30th, MDU filed another complaint on Beck Consulting, actually for another, a line hit in the same area. They hit a 3/4-inch natural gas line. I think the approximate damage was about $1,000. One customer was impacted. So because of how the previous order was worded, which was in the event, which we all voted on, in the event the commission finds Beck Consulting LLC violated North Dakota One Call Law within 5 years of the date of this order, they'd have to remit that suspended portion, which was the $2,650. And of course, since it was suspended, a portion was suspended, that's a strong indicator that they aren't as a frequent flyer, if you will, in terms of having cases. Although, you know, this is the fourth hit, four complaints, three were consolidated. I talked to Pat about it because when I was looking, it seemed like the timing was unfortunate. And then I know other orders in the past, but those are other orders. This is this order, have been written that if, you know, an entity should commit any further violation within 5 years of the date of acceptance of this order, I'm just talking about generic language, then the suspended portion would be required to be paid. So this one is worded a little differently than others. But we did find that Beck Consulting violated North Dakota Century Law after the date of the order that was received or approved in September, 22nd? That sound right? Mm-hmm. September 22nd. So when I was looking at it, it's like, okay, so it's $1,500 for this particular line hit. Normally, I think a line hit like that would be a little bit lower, but then with the suspended portion, I looked, well, it's a $4,150 fine for hitting a 3/4-inch line that was hit prior to them being fined the first time.
Oh, wait, I missed that. So this infraction occurred before we finalized the last infraction?
This hit occurred before.
So they didn't have any time to...
It happened on...
Improve there.
Right, so they were kind of caught in limbo. Wow, that's not the best way of putting it.
Did we know that when we set this established? This,
the consent agreement was agreed to with staff on August 25th. MDU filed a complaint from a line hit occurring before the consent agreement on the other three cases was processed. So it really became, in my mind, a question of, okay, it's not like we had the order, educated them on here's what you did wrong, which, you know, through the penalty you learn rapidly. So it was really after the fact, and kind of went a little back and forth in terms of, well, since we didn't approve the order until September 22nd, the complaint came in on August 30th, but the other one was conceded to 5 days earlier. Is this fair or is this too harsh? Because $4,150, that's a big chunk for one hit. Here's what I went back to, though, in my mind. They hit four lines on four separate incidents. Now, normally, you would not, you know, collectively wind up, in effect, with a, you know, over a $4,000 fine for hitting a 3/4-inch line. But it's the way that order was written, Feinsbeck Consulting, that's the way it was written. And to me, it's like, yeah, but it was the fourth hit. Mm-hmm. So it's a chunk for hitting one small line. And prior to that, you know, the other part, okay, but they didn't have anything prior. So I think we've educated them. I don't think, you know, there's a guarantee that they won't have any infractions in the future, but I think they're well aware of the consequences. So anyway, that's the background on it. I was comfortable with the amount.
Okay, and here's why I asked to discuss it further. And well, before I tell you why I asked to discuss it further, let me just say, I don't have a lot of sympathy for this company. You're right, they've had four hits in a little over a year. Well, a year and a half, I guess. Three of them this year. So I don't have much sympathy. I'm just wanting to make sure our whole process is as it ought to be. And so you had mentioned that MDU reported it on August 30th. I think if I'm recalling it right, that hit actually occurred on August 27th. They had agreed with staff to this consent order that included the suspended penalty on the 25th. So it was really 2 days later. But whether it's 2 days or 5 days or 2 weeks, the fact of the matter is that was something that staff and the company had proposed. We hadn't accepted it yet. And to me, it really wasn't implemented at that point. That's why we have to go through the process and accept them. Otherwise, we don't really have much of a role in this. Staff just works these things out with the company, and then that's the end of it. To me, that just didn't exist yet as a suspended penalty that was hanging there to be collected if they had another strike until we had approved it. And so if the penalty on this strike were higher, but were within the parameters that we've kind of usually worked out, I wouldn't have much of an objection, but it does cause me concern to do this when we hadn't approved that suspended penalty yet.
Well, you both make good points. I come at it a little differently in that, so they made the consent agreement on August 25th with staff. They knew what that consent agreement included. It included this, like, we can't hit any more lines. And then 2 days later, they hit a line. Mm-hmm. They obviously knew they hit the line. Why wasn't that communicated to staff after the fact that there was, we just signed a consent agreement and we've already violated it? Why was that not communicated to staff at that point? And then staff found out on the 30th, right? Or when did we get from staff? Why did we not find this out before we agreed to this consent agreement that was already null and void almost because it had already been violated, if staff knew that? Like, that's the missing piece to me. Then it's like, why did we come forward with the consent agreement that had already been violated? And none of us knew that.
I guess in terms of the consent agreement, staff felt that they had concluded their business, the advocacy staff had concluded their business with Beck at that time. And then 2 days later, when they were doing another excavation and hit another line, staff didn't find out about that from the excavator. They right. didn't find out it. They found out on the 30th from the owner of the facility, MDU.
Right. But they knew certainly before we approved this consent agreement that it had already been violated.
Yes.
That's the kind of information I think we should have before we sign off on them. I mean, because at that point we could have rejected it and gone back.
I see what you're saying.
And said, like, let's look at these collectively or something. But,
sure.
you know, it was like we approved it. None of us knew that there was a violation already.
No.
And so now we're in this tough spot of what do we do now?
And I expressed the same thought to Pat when we talked. You know, you don't know what you don't know until it right. shows up. Because, yeah, it would have, you know, on one hand, I don't know if I don't know if I would have changed because you said it. They just entered into a consent agreement. They had been working prior to that with commission staff on the violations. This was an ongoing process. They came up with a consent agreement on August 25th, but it wasn't like it was the first time they were told these. They had more than 2 days, in my estimation, to make improvements. They had complaints filed on them going back to 2020, July of 2020. So the fact that it was 2 days later, yeah, you could say, well, it was only 2 days. You know, tough luck on the timing. They had a complaint July 17th of 2020 that we processed on September 22nd, or processed, approved an order on. So to me, it's a much longer runway. But after crying out loud, after you just wind up with a consent agreement, you fully realize the ramifications, and 48 hours later, you hit another line. I think that constitutes bringing that suspended amount into play, which we are in this order.
And like I say, I don't quarrel with a severe penalty, but I just don't think that there was a suspended penalty out there until we approved it on September 22nd, and this happened a month before that. And so,
Jack, what's for you?
I don't see how we can collect that.
I would agree that we didn't have a suspended penalty until the day that it was actually ordered. But I have some comfort in the fact that we ordered the suspended penalty and subsequently they agreed in through another consent agreement to the following penalty and to remit the additional value mm-hmm. on the next consent agreement. So it actually does wrap up all cases between the two, even though I agree with you that you're right in your view that until the commission actually approves that consent agreement, it isn't actually in effect. So I guess as a grouping, I have comfort in the fact that it covers all the bases in general.
The consent agreement, maybe the order isn't in effect, but there's still a consent agreement. Like they'd still agreed to it.
So it's
not that the consent agreement isn't valid. It's just that we hadn't ordered it.
Right.
Right.
And that's how both the settlement and the order is usually worded, is that that's when the 5-year time frame would start. And I think if it were just relying on that, we probably wouldn't pursue something like that. But since the new settlement agreement specifically says we're agreeing to pay that suspended penalty. I guess that's how I would.
So maybe in my understanding, they've agreed to this. So right. it kind of covered it. That kind of wraps it together.
Right. And in my thought, if you look at the old consent agreements, I think you guys are following the same template that we originally had worked on. They acknowledge the fact that you guys are the ultimate arbiter of the consent agreement at the end in these agreements. But if you, say, hypothetically decided we're going to reject this and pull it back, the original consent agreement, then there's a good chance you would end up right back here in all of these penalties, you know, in a grouping anyway. So it's... Mm-hmm. it's a little procedurally wonky, but it's really ultimately the same conclusion.
Yeah.
Unless there would have been a concern that someone wanted to escalate a penalty in on the interim.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Good.
Is this also procedurally
just
common?
Just think if we had operated, no, and this is serious, and you know, the general time frame we had prior to really processing these quickly, the complaint from MDU may not have been processed till this winter.
Right.
I mean, so we're, you know, good job staff on following the directive of moving quickly on these. This was quick, and the company did agree. Hey, they didn't contest paying the suspended amount. We've got a consent agreement in place for it. We could go at it a little bit differently, but you know, Jack expressed you know, this wraps it up, and we're on solid ground. So I think it's a good conclusion, and I think you know we've learned a few things going forward. One thing, just being careful how we consistency in wording the suspended amount. I think that there's a few nuances to that, but I think they're important nuances. But that's for another day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we're constantly working, doing settlements for these cases. So mm-hmm. Was the concern in the order language? I guess I'm sorry I'm late. I thought this didn't start till 3. So.
Oh, well, I don't know how far I want to.
I can tell you what we were looking at.
Yeah. Do we want to get into it now, though? Because we're talking about this case, we're not necessarily talking about consistency of
language. And that's fine. If it's just something I can clarify.
I think it's consistent in principle, and but as I worded it, you know, because I've said it so many times, you know, suspend on the condition that the entity commit no further violation within 5 years of the date of acceptance of this order. Well, this is in the event the commission fines, F-I-N-D-S. Back consulting, it's a little different in my mind. Yeah. It was a question I had for Pat, and well, we had highlighted and put a little. So it's not wrong. It's just I think we could be a little careful, and you know, just to keep it clean and tight, so to speak.
Yeah. And then obviously, when there's multiple cases with one company, if something happens before something is, you know, is approved by us, that changes the validity of what we're approving. We should just take another stab, rethink it. So,
yeah, ideally, you probably could have pulled this back and just did one consent agreement
for all of it.
For all of it, one global agreement, and I think that would have been less confusing, at least, because like I say, I was just telling Victor right before I walked in here. That with this work session, I was trying to set apart all the dates and the consent agreements and the days that they actually violated, and it was fairly complicated to put it all together.
You need an Excel spreadsheet.
Commissioner Gross, you explained it really well, but walking in, I was like, I think I just figured it out. Oh, so.
You know, the other reality in this, I think the penalty fits the violation. If we had consolidated them, Beck Consulting would have been looking at an additional $750 for the fourth violation under the assumption we would have suspended half of that as a part of the other suspended violations, which were half. So this moves it up by another $3,400, but they had four line hits.
Yeah.
And including one not only 2 days after the consent agreement, the first one was arrived at, but more than a year after they hit the first line. These are gas lines.
Yeah.
I don't know that we would have put the multiple violation adder on if it was originally consolidated. So the adder for multiple violations kind of works. The first proceeding,
meaning
the first settlement, we wouldn't put anything. But any proceeding afterwards, we would put on 500 and then the next 1,000.
Yeah, but so I think it would have been diluted.
Yep.
Well,
the other thing is, like, there were two violations, two hits pretty close together there. And so it would have been good for us to act on it quickly. And then turns out there was another one pretty pretty soon right after that, too.
Now, please tell me there aren't any more pending for Beck Consulting.
There aren't.
Not right now. Just a check. Maybe before the next meeting.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. Well that was a good discussion.
Then we'll get back to you and tell you, hey, you know, if this is going to the next meeting.
Right, exactly. We'll if there you. Is, then all bets are off. Start over. Back to the drawing board.
Well, sorry to hold it up, but I wanted to make
no,
sure.
No,
I
no, no. Discussion, Andy.
Yeah,
I had missed the timing on that.
No, we had talked. I was going to explain it, but it was probably better to do it in this venue than to go through and explain it during the meeting, which I was going to do because it seemed a little on the unique side and prior to my discussions with staff on it, but I've done this before in other areas, so thank you though for the work you all do on these things. And moving it's like moving a wagon load of rocks up to the top of the mountain, so appreciate that. Fun.
All right, thanks everybody. That concludes our work session on 21-377.